Hold on, let me text her right now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Lizzie B.
Awesome.
Yes. Hello and welcome to Snark Squad Pod, a media podcast full of friendship, feelings, and snark. I'm Nicole Sweeney.
My name is Marines.
And today we are joined for the first time by longtime snark lady, Jessica.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I am a snark lady, which is how you know me. And I'm just a... Ta-da! Still true. I'm just a creative type person who loves reading, writing, consuming media. I do another podcast with some friends of mine. We talk about horror movies and we pair them with beer, and that's called Macabre Bros, if you're interested in those things.
I was trying to think of all the things that you have recapped over the years. It's a lot, right? Like, it's a lot.
It is. I've done a fair amount. I was making a list in case I needed to remember, but it's like, yeah, the OC, Jessica Jones, Orphan Black, remember that?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was a great show. Yeah. I did Grey for the book side of things. Yeah, a little bit here and there, Daredevil Charmed. It's been really fun. I've gotten to do a lot with you guys.
We have invited Jessica here today to do another thing with us, and that is talk about the newest entry into the Charlie's Angel franchise. Charlie's Angels is the name of the movie, and the movie starts with a team of angels, including Kristen Stewart's character Sabina and Ella Balinska's character Jane, taking down a bad guy, an embezzler named Johnny Smith in Rio. The bad guy is turned over to Patrick Stewart, who is playing the original Bosley in this film, taking over for Bill Murray's character in the first two. We jump forward a year in the movie, and original Bosley is retiring, and we see that he's helped grow the agency to the point where they've got Bosleys in different area codes. Naomi Scott's character, Elena, is a programmer working on a project named Callisto, and it's just like a hand-wavy doohickey, which is like some sort of like energy conservation device with a huge flaw. It can be hacked into when weaponized, emitting an energy pulse that can kill anybody. So she tries to tell her boss, Fleming, who disregards her warning and won't let her talk to the owner of the company, a man named Brock. So Elena meets with another Bosley, Edgar is his name, working with Jane and Sabina, but they are ambushed during this meeting and Edgar is killed. Elizabeth Banks plays Rebecca Bosley. She goes by Boz, and Boz helps Jane, Sabina, and Elena break into Elena's office to steal all of the Callisto units, but they are missing. So they figure out that Fleming took them and is trying to sell them, so they track him to Istanbul and find that Fleming is in cahoots with Johnny Smith from the beginning of the movie. In the middle of a big showdown between the angels and the bad guys, Boz disappears, and the angels start to suspect that she's double-crossing them. It doesn't help that when they get back to the safe house is bombed, and original Bosley shows up. He shoots Boz and rescues Elena, except it's not a rescue because he's the double-crosser, and he was pissed that they forced him into retirement and passed over for a promotion to Charlie, and there is once again a showdown at Brock's house party this time, and the angels best original Bosley and his team of bad guys with help from other angels, and at the end they recruit Elena to be a full-blown angel. The end.
Yay! So that is this movie. First things first, did you like it, Jessica?
I did. I enjoyed it very much.
I also did, and I was like fully prepped to like it because all I had seen on the internet was just like people not liking it. So I was like, no, man, this is going to be great. And I went in, and I feel like the movie delivered on what I expected it to be. So yes, for me.
So I also really enjoyed it. I will say that I understand some of the reasons for not liking it. Like, I mean, in general, I'm not interested in the opinion of any straight men. Like, your opinions are not relevant to me. Like, that's, even if your opinion is that you liked it, like, I literally don't care. It doesn't exist. This isn't for you. So your opinions are irrelevant to me. That being said, like, I understand some of the flaws in this movie, but I was just very aggressively pandered to, and it was successful. Like, you did it. You did. It's fine. Like, I watched Kristen Stewart run around and be like silly and goofy and whatever. in spite of the fact that this movie is being critically panned, we have three people who really liked it. So this is going to be interesting. It feels like it makes sense to start with Kristen Stewart, with Sabina. How did you feel about Sabina?
I thought she was great. She brought some humor to it, you know, and she was the silly man to the other girl's straight man, the British girl. And I thought that she played that very well.
Kristen Stewart is one of these actresses that I am like super invested in her redemption story, like regardless of like anything outside of anything that she plays. She's very much an Anne Hathaway for me, where like tracking the like progress of her career and how it was like cool at one time to hate her, and coming from a person that I like loathe the Twilight series, I loathe it, I find her so charming, and I find I'm like really happy for her in this moment of her, you know, making the comeback that she is in her career. And then getting to watch her in this movie where she is, you can tell that she is having a fantastic time. She's charming. Her character's great. She got pretty much all of the laughs out of me. Like, there were things that were like on the cheesier side that I didn't think were like pretty super funny or whatnot, but Kristen Stewart's character always made me laugh. I don't know. I just think that she ran away with the film, honestly, because whenever she was in a scene, I was paying attention to what she was doing.
Yeah, I totally agree with the sense that she is the center of this movie. I want to talk more about this Kristen Stewart redemption story, because big same on all of that, especially because I feel like the big kind of turning point moment for her came because like when she slept with her director who was married, but then like the next movie, like she got kicked off the next movie. Like, no, he was the one who was the married man sleeping with an actress 20 years his junior. Like, that whole thing was so upsetting. Like, even at the time, like the moment when it was cool to hate Kristen Stewart sucked. And so I'm so glad that now she's like back and living her best life as a queer icon. And yeah, I also thoroughly enjoyed watching her character.
It really felt like, too, Kristen Stewart brought a lot of her personality into it, I think, in ways that she hasn't in other films. Because I think from interviews, she seems kind of that quirky person. Anyways, it was almost like watching Kristen Stewart be an angel, although not too much, if that makes any sense.
My one caveat for all of this is that the thing that I wish that this movie had been more of, and I think like her character is close as it gets, but she's not exempt from it either. Like, I feel like the Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu, Drew Barrymore, Charlie's Angels was much more openly ridiculous. And like, yes, that is, I think, essential to making this work. Like, it is ridiculous. Like, it's sort of built in premise. It isn't an intense spy thriller. At its best, it is a little bit campy. And I think that this wasn't quite as kind of over the top and silly as I wanted it to be. But what we found of that was mostly with Sabina.
I agree with you. I rewatched the first two before I saw this one because I loved the first one when it came out. I was all about it, owned the soundtrack, the DVD, everything. And I forgot how completely bonkers that film was when I rewatched it this time. It's insane, but like in the best way, like so ridiculous. And it was interesting to see. I was curious if they would pull in that camp, and they didn't really. But they did little sort of, I guess, they did little like references to it. And they played it a little more straight, which I think was okay. But it's definitely, it wasn't a remake by any means. And even the storyline wasn't. But it was, I was curious to see how far they would go with the camp. And they went kind of with a 5. And the other movie was like a 95. So
I really did love the visual gag of inserting Patrick Stewart, like photoshopping Patrick Stewart into
badly photoshopping him into, very badly, and over, so good.
But like that's the kind of thing that like tonally, and that happened really early in the movie, and I felt like it was setting it up to do that thing, and I just like, I wanted more of that.
Yeah.
I feel like I did want more of that. I didn't want it to be like 95% campy, but like 5% was too low. Had it gone like a 50-50 kind of thing, I think I would have been happier. But I think that part of the reason that this is being panned is because some of the reviews that I was reading were definitely taking it too seriously. But it's because I think at moments the movie is taking itself seriously. And so, I don't know, people went in that direction too. Like, what is this movie saying about the entire state of feminism? And I'm like, calm down. Like, there's absolutely no need.
They are reacting that way, though, in part because of the ways in which the movie is telling you to watch it. And like, the movie isn't 100% sure how seriously it wants you to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it kind of found its stride partway through. I think the beginning was so much spy movie, like the corporate and intrigue and all that. And then kind of around the time they took the boat ride, you know, and they're all just hanging out together. Once the three of them really gelled as a team, then they brought in those elements, but it took a while.
I will also say, in very mild defense of some of those reviews, I have not actually read them, and I don't know when they were written. But if any of them were written after opening weekend, Elizabeth Banks's comments didn't help. Basically, she has talked about the movie in ways that kind of tie it back to some kind of larger feminist statement, which is nonsense, is truly nonsense. Like, I think that it is noteworthy that it is directed and produced by a woman, and like that it is a very sort of female forward film, but like, this is not some like giant leap forward for feminism either. So,
right.
Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it gets you thinking about, like, you know, this is not a terrible movie, even if I can see the ways that it would not be for everybody. And I don't know if this is because I like regularly consume terrible things. This is, I don't know if like my measure for these things is like shifted, but this is not like a really bad movie by any means. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Whether you'd find it funny or enjoyable or whatever, that's, you know, up to opinion. But like, the quality is like fine. It's a fine movie. So it gets you thinking about, why did this reboot or this next one in a sequel, like, why didn't it work when there have been terrible movies that make billions of dollars? And so when you start kind of interrogating that, even though the movie itself is not like a giant leap for feminism, and while it had like jokes that nodded at things, I don't think that you can make a Charlie's Angels movie considering where it came from and not be like, okay, we know that this was super male gazey, like, we understand, and like make nods to those things. I don't know, all of that present in the movie, and then thinking about the way that it like did not succeed, it really does make you start thinking, like, do people just hate this because it's for women and about women and directed by a woman? And I think that kind of defensiveness, like, I can't speak for Elizabeth Banks, but I understand where that defensiveness comes from, because like I said, I walked into the theater like, I'm gonna love this, damn it. I was also defensive.
Sure. Yes. I feel that.
Yeah. I wonder too if Elizabeth Banks, her previous films, you know, Pitch Perfect, you want to talk about campy and stuff like that. So I wonder if people were too maybe expecting that with Charlie's Angels and then were confused. I mean, it's not that confusing. Get over it. But like, you just wonder if maybe people weren't sure, because I wasn't sure going in. But for me, it was fun. I was like, ooh, I can't wait. Ooh, we're going like spy, like really serious. Okay, let's do this. Like, I was, again, like Mari, I was like, I'm going in like, I am here. It's going to be amazing. End of sentence.
One of the things that I did see that she said, like, I was just following along on Twitter, like, I wasn't deep diving, but it was something to the effect of like, you know, people don't ask why they made another Spider-Man movie kind of thing, which the comparison is not totally there, but the idea that, you know, whatever flaws or whatever you feel about remakes and reboots and all of that, like, that's a larger conversation that can't be pinned just on Charlie's Angels 2019. Yes. And, you know, you asked about why do we need like the third reboot of Spider-Man or not, you know, maybe consider that in why you're asking why we need another Charlie's Angels. Like, did we need it? No, but it was awesome. And, you know, I watched Kristen Stewart, and like Nicole said, it pandered to me as a person. So like, let me have it.
Let me have it.
I just want it, okay? Gosh.
Well, moving down the line of, I guess, the sort of major characters in this movie, and this is like a very loose sort of segue off of like, I felt like very pandered to, Ella Balinska is just like very beautiful. And so I don't know, I just like having her on screen is very nice. How did you guys feel about Jane as a character though, aside from how she's like distractingly beautiful and perfect looking?
It took me a minute to warm up to her, but I did like her in the end. And I liked the little backstory they gave her being the MI6 agent. And she kind of reaches out to this contact again, and we learn why she left. You know, that kind of humanized her, because they sort of played her almost as the, I don't think it's great to compare them to the three other women, but like the Lucy Liu type character, where she's very tech and analytical and sort of the straight man, like I said. And but I once we kind of got to know her a little better, I quite enjoyed her, and I really liked the scene where she cried over Kristen Stewart, and couldn't quite tell if they were trying to maybe play it up for laughs, and I wasn't sure how I felt about that, because I liked that, you know, someone was showing emotion and it was her, which kind of brings, you know, the person with the least emotion up front shows emotion. That's a big moment in a movie. But I was almost like they took it a little too far with the humor there. But overall, I warmed up to her and I did like her quite much, quite a lot.
For what it's worth, I did not feel like that moment was played for laughs. Like, I felt like it was definitely we're meant to kind of watch Sabina react to it in this way of like, oh, this is wild and I did not anticipate this. It did not feel to me as though it was being played for laughs. But I don't know. Maybe, again, this is me being all in for this movie.
Mm-hmm. I don't think her crying was like the laughter portion of it. I think they tried to like lighten it when the real true best portion of that scene is when Kristen Stewart is like, I'm kind of annoying.
Yes.
And you're like,
that's true.
But we love you.
And now I love you even more because you're self-aware.
I know. But yeah, I think it's very difficult when you do have a character that is like the straight-laced one, the unemotional one. She had it going for her that I think that she had like the best physicality, I guess. Like she did the fighting stuff the best. Like, she's a statuesque woman and she was like throwing punches and doing things where I was like, yeah, I believe that you could beat me up. Like,
yes,
that is convincing. But yes, it takes a while to kind of like warm up to her because she holds it or so close the character does. So yeah, overall, I enjoyed it.
It's funny because I'm hearing you guys say this and it makes sense to me, but also I warmed to her really early. I teared up maybe 20 minutes into the movie after Edgar Bosley dies because with that scene where Elizabeth Banks comes to like meet up with the three women after they have their daring escape, whatever. And Elizabeth Banks goes to comfort Jane. And Jane says, no, I don't need a hug. And then Elizabeth Banks says, well, I do. He was my friend, too. And then hugs her. And like, and then like Jane tears up while she's hugging her. And then I teared up sitting in the theater. So I don't know. Like, to me, it felt like I didn't feel like, oh, wow, now that this situation with Kristen Stewart is like kind of the first big humanizing moment for her. Like, I felt like that stuff was there, was happening all along. You had undercurrents of it well before that. You saw it with how pained she was going to reconnect with her contact in Istanbul. I think that this character had a lot more going on than that emotionally. Or maybe I just personally felt very connected to her. I'm not sure.
She definitely gets, I think, the best arc.
Yes, yes, totally, yes.
As I say, she had that great moment at the very first scene where she shoves Kristen Stewart off the roof. That, I definitely was like, oh yeah, I like her. For sure. That was a pretty great moment. Just like, and I think that's how you know that there could be that hiding beneath, and you see little pieces of it, and then as she's slowly drawn out throughout the movie, you kind of fall in love with her, you know, as a character. Mm-hmm. And she did, I was looking at her IMDb page, she has combat skills. She went to the Academy of Performance Combat, so that's why she looks so awesome doing those moves.
Amazing.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew she looked great.
Maureen knew it.
I knew she could kick my ass.
I knew she could kick my ass. Oh, it says a lot more about me than it does about her, truly, but sure.
So rounding out our trio. How did you guys feel about Elena as a character?
I liked her too. I think she was just enough between like kind of innocent, naive, getting into the world, but also she wasn't a dummy. Right. And I think they did that balance pretty well. Like, she's kind of like, I felt at least our stand in to learning about the angels and all that. And I thought she did that pretty well. She's also very pretty to look at. You know, all of them. I think you're just like stunned by all these like amazing women on screen. I'm like, I want to be your best friend. But she fit in well. And she does have an arc too throughout. But it's not like she suddenly gets smart. Like, she was smart at the beginning. She just kind of, you know, jumps on, but she's kind of got these funny little awkward moments that were endearing to me.
I agree. I think that, again, I was prepared to love her because I loved Aladdin. So Princess Jasmine was for me from the beginning, but I think they did a good job of having her as our entry point into the angels, but still making it believable that she would like learn quickly. Like, she was super smart. She was their hacker. And now thinking about it, I said that Kristen Stewart like got the most laughs from me, but I think Naomi Scott also had like some of the best scenes, I think, like her whole speech about wanting to join the angels, and then yes. Everybody was like, it was kind of implied, but how did that feel? Because it looked like it felt great. Like, that whole scene I thought was just great. And then she has the, when she's like fighting and she's like, I know Krav Maga or whatever, and she starts like beating up the guy. I thought that whole exchange was good too. So she did a good job.
I love that you brought that line up too, because so I, again, am not going to come out here and try to suggest that this is some like great feminist epic. However, that exchange, that moment of like, woman gives impassioned speech about how she's valuable and has worth, and then her friend is like, I bet that like that looked like it felt really good to finally yes. do, is also very, I don't know, like that it feels very fitting in a movie that is very much for women.
I just, anytime that there is like any criticism about something being heavy handed or whatever, I think it just, you have to take a step back and think about like, I don't know, the experience, or maybe it goes back to what we're saying about like, sure, it was pandering to people, but it was pandering to me. So it's
to
fine.
I see this pandering to me.
Right. So things like that, or at the very beginning of the movie where she's trying to tell about like the report, and the way that her skeevy manager is talking over her and won't let her talk and taking credit for her work. Like, it just, that's not heavy handed to me, because I don't know, I've been there. I've lived that. So, you know, like it you do get very defensive about like, yeah, you can't criticize that without also like knocking the experience of people who have been there, which is probably most women everywhere. So I don't know, man, felt pretty real to me.
That was a really good scene.
Having this conversation is also reminding me a lot of the Captain Marvel criticisms too. And the like, well, she doesn't, you know, she's like super powerful from the beginning and whatever. And it's like, okay, yes, that is actually the point. Like, she is being told to hold herself back and like keep her emotions in check by a person who is lying to and manipulating her and like gaslighting her. And then in the end, when he tries to do it one last time, she's like, no, I don't have to like fight you on your level. I can just like blast you with my little superpowers. Like, that is the fact that she was always powerful is literally the point. It's the same sort of vein of criticism where it's like, you are talking about an actual lived experience that, I don't know, definitely doesn't often get represented in kind of big over-the-top action movies. So, like, let us have this.
Again, I want it. Give it to me, please. No, I thought that scene with her boss was so good, because that guy was just, you could tell him immediately, and they do little things, you know, they his feet up on the desk and there's all these little but it was just like such a familiar, I was like, oh man, I know this person, like I've felt this before. And they do that throughout, and I thought it was really good, because even these kick-ass ladies still have to deal with that, and they do, and they're awesome and they kick ass, but yeah, it's still there regardless. And so yeah,
also I guess related to all of this and kind of segueing into talking about another character, but I enjoy the degree to which John Bosley, that's the Patrick Stewart Bosley, is a classic like fake male feminist, in that, you know, like he's like, I made a career out of like estimating women's abilities, and then like but also I clearly secretly kind of hate women a little bit. I don't know.
and like that idea that, you know, he's worked so long for the angels and like built up this whole thing, but then immediately feels slighted because he got passed over for a promotion.
Yes.
And then it's later, I mean, we never give spoiler alerts, but like spoiler alert, it's later revealed that Charlie is now a woman. So when you put that into the perspective of this man feeling so slighted for the promotion that he goes evil, you're like, dude, probably Classic. This is why you were not right for Classic. The job in the first place.
Man proclaims himself to be a feminist, but then the second he gets passed over for a promotion by a woman, he like goes full-fledged evil. Like, yes. Right. Yep. We've already talked a little bit about Elizabeth Banks and her sort of capacity as director and, you know, talking about the film and whatnot, but how did you feel about her in this film?
For me, it was hard not to just see Elizabeth Banks, you know, which is not really fair to her. And again, it was a little tough because I wasn't sure, am I seeing campy Charlie's Angels, Elizabeth Banks, or like serious spy movie Elizabeth Banks? And sort of finding that balance for myself. And then we think she's evil partway through and then not. There's a lot happening. But I think overall, I still came off with a positive feeling for her, Bosley. And I was really glad when she wasn't evil in the end because I was like, oh, man. Because, you know, in Charlie's Angels 2, Demi Moore is the angel gone bad. And they kind of make this very slight reference to it like it's happened before. And I was like, yeah, dang it. Are they doing that again? And so I was pretty excited when it came back around. I was like, are they, aren't they? And so I was always just a little bit like watching her kind of like with my head tilted a little bit, like, what's it going to be? But that might just be me coming to it, like with my own, you know, personal stuff. I was just so excited for it to be good and just like watching her. But I thought she pulled it off. She looked amazing in all those outfits too. So good job, Elizabeth Banks.
I agree that because they play her like kind of shady for a little bit to get you to believe Super that she shady. Might be double crossing. You're left with like, I don't know, that can leave a character in a lurch where you're not entirely sure who they are or whatnot. That's really funny about only seeing Elizabeth Banks, because now that you say it, I was like, yeah, that is true. But some of her lines are ones that I feel like that people would probably take the most, like, I don't know, that were kind of grown worthy. Like, she has this one about like women are always hungry or whatnot. That she just kind of like slips in there, but I'm like, correct, as I was watching this sipping on a milkshake on a Saturday night. And then she has one about like, she just randomly is like, I'm gonna go find some cheese because, you know, I'm 40 and single and I always want cheese. And I'm like, cool. I see why others might not like that, but that's hilarious because I too always want cheese. her character, I think, might have rubbed people the wrong way for that, but I agree that I was happy that she wasn't evil. My favorite moment of hers, like, was when she, you know, when they're like, no, Patrick Stewart's the evil one, and everybody's like, he couldn't be, and she's like, you just totally believed I could
yes.
be, so yes. what's up with that? I think that was like kind of her standout moment, but overall, not my favorite character in this movie by any stretch, but I think, as with everything in this movie, I enjoyed it.
So I think that was a standout moment in terms of the way her character was used, but I actually, my sort of standout moment for her comes a couple minutes later. It's in that same scene, but she has this like throwaway gag about like making a very dated movie reference, which I also didn't get it, but like that was the whole joke. And I don't know, like that to me was probably the funniest joke in the whole movie. It landed very effectively with me personally.
I think because we're media people, it was so funny. Yes. Like, it was so real. Like,
there
had that conversation.
Film buffs of all ages.
She's like defensive, but also she knows it, but also she's a little defensive about it. That's so funny.
That's super relatable to anybody who has made a media reference that people don't get, and you're like trying to salvage it and you can't, and you're like, you know, like the panic of that moment. Well played.
I mean, we literally built a whole podcast segment on Cooler Than Homework in which we like basically make ourselves feel better about the fact that one of our four hosts is like 6 years younger than us. So it's because she doesn't know things. It's not like because we're old. We have now been pretty intense about all of the ways in which we were all in for this thing. I mentioned some of my criticisms up at the top, but I'm curious if you guys had any other kind of moments or things that didn't really work for you.
I think there were too many twists. Normally I can follow the plots really well, just because I watch movies a lot and I think that way. I'm a writer. And so, but I was a little, I was confused about why Elizabeth Banks drove away without saying anything. She was literally on the comms. She could have been like, hey, there's a danger. I am going to like, but like she was shady for kind of no reason a little bit. And so maybe I missed that. But for me, that's where it got a little tangled. Where I was like, I'm having to think too much about who is what. And that kind of got confused for me. That was probably my main criticism.
I'm going to say this knowing that I enjoyed myself from beginning to end. But I think that maybe this movie would have been more well received if it was tightened up a bit. It was 120 minutes long, I think, was the runtime that I saw on my ticket or whatever. So I think that had it, you know, if you tightened a little bit of the plots and made it a little punchier, it would have been easier for people to digest and get what the movie was doing. I just think that it was a little too long. Maybe that goes back to like pulling out a twist or two or a plot or two or an extended fight sequence, just kind of tightening that up or whatnot. I don't think that it was necessary to have it be as long as it was, but also, I don't know, I say that and I'm like, but I could watch that movie again and it would be fine. So this is coming from me like taking a step back and thinking about like how it would have appealed to more people or gotten better reception.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Jessica's comment about the degree to which Elizabeth Banks's character was being shady for no reason. I don't know that I think that there were too many twists. I just think that like that plot was underdeveloped is really the problem. Like, I think that the idea of presenting us with the possibility that it could be her was a good one. They just did it in a way that doesn't actually hold up or make sense when you go back and look at it. And so that piece of it maybe could have used a little bit more development is all. Like, I wouldn't get rid of that twist. I just would have found a way to flesh it out a little bit better, give sort of better reasons for her behaving in the way that she did. Even just a line of dialogue that's like, I know that John Bosley is also keyed, like linked into our comms or whatever, like any sort of explanation for her behaving in the way that she did to make it actually hold up would have been nice.
I agree, because I got a little confused too with Johnny Smith, the Australian Johnny guy. Like she flipped him for some reason, but also why? And
also why?
I'm not sure what he did for her in the end, because they like look at him and Patrick Stewart's like, "Oh, A2 Brute or whatever." He didn't say that, but that's me being a nerd. But he's like, "Oh, you're not helping me." And she's like, "Yeah, I flipped him. Haha, that's how I did it." And I was like, "Did what? What did he do? I'm so confused."
Right.
So maybe that's me failing at watching, but I think going back, I'm definitely going to watch it again. Obviously going to buy that movie. I might be able to. It's pretty much pre-purchase. Come on. But like, I'll probably be more articulate about it later. At first, I was just a bit confused, but it's amazing. I love it. I know it's not useful for a discussion, but there it is.
I feel like it's implied that it was financial, because he's like, it's business or whatever. But again, this doesn't actually disagree with anything that you're saying, right? Because it's like, it's a really vague explanation.
I will also say that even though most of the moments landed for me, the one moment where I was like, what was that? And I think it was in the spirit of something that happens in Captain Marvel, but near the beginning of the movie, I think there's just like a little montage.
The montage. Yes.
Girls doing things.
Yes.
Like, yes, girls do things. That's great. But I don't know why we needed that in the introduction.
Yes.
Necessarily. It felt very like, I don't know. It set the tone weird at that point.
It was totally unnecessary. And it did set the tone really weird. Like, it goes back to everything that I was saying at the beginning that like, yes, I enjoyed this movie. However, most of the criticisms of it also make sense to me because I don't think that the movie was sufficiently clear about how it wanted you to watch it. And like that montage at the beginning had a like it was taking itself really seriously while also not communicating anything. It was basically just like, there's gonna be women in this movie. Like, okay.
They're gonna do things. Right. It's gonna be great. I wonder if that was a callback to the original too. I don't know if you call it original because there's a TV show, but like they did a montage of each of the three, Lucy Liu, Drew Barrymore, and Cameron Diaz, each had like a little when they were younger montage. So I wonder if that was maybe the attempt.
Well, right. And in the Captain Marvel reference that Mari was making too, there's also that, and it's Carol when she, all of the little, it's not a bunch of random little girls, it's Carol, right? Like that's right. this was just random girls.
Like stock image women.
I will say at the end, there's another little montage or whatever. So they end up besting all the bad guys because they pull in angels from, I don't know, all around, and they like plant them in this party. And at the correct moment, they all like attack with their sleepy Altoids or whatever. And then the movie goes back and shows you in flashes these women like throughout the movie helping, like in very brief instances, like a key pass or, you know, the girl who originally gave Elena the business card and things like that, and that I appreciated. That felt like, yeah, look at this like group of women working together. I felt that was better done. If you wanted a montage of women doing things at the end of the movie and it being things that pertain to your movie, was probably the correct way to do it.
Right. Yes. That montage was good. That montage was effective. It served a clear purpose. Like,
yes.
It is tonally consistent with the level that this movie was at. Like, I think that in a different movie, you could say that was, I don't know, condescending, but like, in the, you know, to suggest that I didn't remember who those women in the room were. But in this movie, yes, it fits. It makes sense to quickly remind me who all those women in the room were.
In the same vein, at the end where there's the training montage for Elena and they're calling in all these famous people was such a cool idea, like the race car driver and the was she an Olympian, the fighter, I don't remember their names, sorry, but and then they the best reference,
Danica Johnson and Ronda Rousey, I believe,
I don't remember their names, but yes, you know them. But the best reference in the whole movie has to be when they're about jumping out of the plane and Elizabeth Banks goes, when RBG made this jump in 91 or whatever, and they're like, what? That was the best moment ever. I like cheered in the theater. I definitely did. So amazing.
There were a lot of great like little cameos in this movie. And I kept going, is that this person? Is that person?
Yes, is the answer.
And it always was. I looked it up when I got home, like cameos in this movie. And there were like so many I didn't catch. But pretty much every time I asked myself, is that somebody? Yes, it was.
All the way up to the angel recruits, the fact that like she was going through the process too with a bunch of other, like, I don't know, random famous young women that you might like. If you're watching this movie, you might also enjoy Hailee Steinfeld as a person. So here she is. You're right, movie. I do enjoy Hailee Steinfeld as a person. Wow.
And she was so cute, too. Like, she was like, whoa, I'm not afraid. I'm going to do it. Like, it was just like a 10, like 5 second minute. And I was like, that was amazing. I would watch her being an angel, too. Let's do it.
However much money you paid Hailee Steinfeld to come in for an hour to shoot that scene, totally worth it.
I'd be a bad famous person because that's the kind of stuff I'd do for free. I'd be like, yeah, man, I'm gonna shoot your angels movie for an hour.
Well, it's not so much that you'd be a bad famous person as that like your agent or manager would be like pissed to have you. They can't take 20% of nothing. Are you
calling me like, where are you? Oh, I'm doing this thing for free again today. I don't know. The last little thing that I kind of wanted to mention, and it makes me sad considering that this has not only been panned by critics, but it's not doing great at the box office. But I think that it was set up in a way where you can clearly see that this was an introduction to something more that they wanted it to be. And it was very much like an introduction or reintroduction because you have new characters. And I don't know if they're... I enjoyed getting to meet them and seeing them come together as a team, but I think that anytime that you do any sort of continuation in a franchise and you restart and do an introduction again, there are going to be people who get like persnickety about that. And, you know, and I get it because it feels like you're doing kind of the same thing again and again. So there were a lot of things about this movie that made me feel like at the end of it, like it was like, and next time, like we really take off because the team's together now, you know. Will there be a next time? I don't know.
And probably even these, not.
Yeah, I know. That sucks. Even the idea, I think the tagline is something about like sisterhood. And so you can tell that they were building into this idea of like a larger Angels thing. But unfortunately, you kind of had to deliver more of that, I guess, in the first movie for people to be really sold, because you never know about those second movies.
Yeah, I like to think that Elizabeth Banks being attached might give it some more oomph to get it over that hump in Kristen Stewart. But you never know. That's true. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, they're all separate. And the fun thing that was really fun about the first ones was like the friendship between the three of them. And it was the three of them. They were this power trio, and they really powered those movies for all their flaws. Like, that was the best part, because they're just laughing together, having a great time. And it took a while to get our ladies there. Now, they got there. I really think they did. And I loved the friendship moments. They were the best. But there weren't as many of them as there could have been. And if there's a sequel, with my fingers crossed, I think it could be really amazing. But that's, again, how do you tell that to people with money? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I assume that Elizabeth Banks also produced this movie too. And so it seems like this is the thing that she's trying to do to fill the pitch perfect sized void in her life. I don't know. Like, maybe that will be enough to propel it forward. I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like the budget for this movie is estimated at $48 million. And it has currently made worldwide 43. Maybe a combination of it earning back everything they've spent, and then just like Elizabeth Banks being pushy will be enough to get us that sequel.
She could do it. I believe in her.
I do too. And if, I mean, she's not listening to this podcast, but if she were, we want you to make that second part, Elizabeth Banks.
Yes, please do that, Elizabeth Banks, who's definitely listening to this.
Our best friend, Elizabeth Banks, please make the Charlie's Angels sequel. Thank you.
Dear Liz.
I said that was my last criticism, but talking about this, it makes me remember that they're establishing a friendship. They're establishing something. So it kind of takes a while. I think wasted time, but they wasted a little time, I think, kind of insinuating at the beginning that Sabina and the other character, Jane, didn't like each other. I know she pushed her off a roof, but it was very jokey in the moment, you know? And then it's like they have that moment where it's like, I don't want to work with her. I work with nobody. I don't like her. Had they just started at like ground level, like, hey, nice to meet you, we're going to be working together, and moved it along, I felt like that would have been better. But they tried to pretend like it was this big thing that they didn't like each other. And it just wasn't necessary.
It was unnecessary. And also it never read that way either. Like, the movie kept inserting sort of like exchanges like that, that were meant to suggest to us that there was some sort of animosity there. But then I never felt any sort of real animosity. I felt like maybe a vague sense of they do things differently, but that was it. Which it doesn't necessarily, like, you can have a, you know, like the team is struggling to gel together because these two people have such radically different approaches sort of vibe, without also pairing that to they really don't like each other.
And I only really got that as one-sided kind of from Jane, where she didn't like Kristen Stewart's Sabina. But I felt like Sabina was kind of just like cool with everyone. And that was maybe why I was a bit cool on Jane at first, because how can you not love Sabina immediately? And, you know, she's annoying. But yeah, I agree. I almost wonder if they could have cut out the first part where, you know, Edgar Bosley dies, or kind of done it quicker and spent more time on them sort of gelling together as a team. Because that was like a long sequence of the chase and, like, you know, the scary assassin guy. I don't know. That might have been a place to tighten it up, like Mari was saying.
I want to give a quick shout out to the costumes in this movie, just the clothes. We talked about how beautiful our three main actresses were. They were indeed beautiful, but they were also in very beautiful clothing. You know, and in a lot of ways that this gives a nod to, like, certain spy, women spy things. Like, there were a lot of times where they're like running around in heels and you're just like, girl. But then they have these moments where they like change quickly into sneakers and you're like, yes, like that is what would happen. Yes. You are correct. But anyways, the point was that they have the like in the closet moment, and there are a lot of times where they're showing off like their outfits. Naomi Scott wears this red dress at the end that was just absolutely gorgeous on her and in general. So yeah, clothing, great.
I thought the fight scenes were awesome. I'm a huge action movie fan. And like we were saying, you know, Ella Balinska just knocked it out of the park. She's totally believable as a flippy, you know, kick your ass kind of person. And that was highly enjoyable. Go watch this movie.
And the fight sequences were good. And I think that there were moments where you really were like stressed for them. There was one point mm-hmm. where Kristen Stewart's like in a rock crusher. And I was like, get her out of there. So, you know, you obviously know that the three girls are going to survive to the end. But it's always cool when a movie can make you stressed out for them still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, putting them in a giant like rock crusher will do that. But a lot of those moments, especially because they were fighting against men who were bigger than them. And, you know, like there were times where they got hit seriously, a few moments where they were being like thrashed around and you're just like feeling for them. So I thought that all of that was well done.
The scene with Sabina in the bathroom stall with like that security guard is one that stands out to me as like a moment where you see some thoughtfulness in terms of the way the fight scene is designed, given the relative size of those two people. Like you see Sabina using the space in a way that is compensating for the fact that she is, of course, smaller than the security guard that she's fighting. But she like, you know, also has to, for the sake of the movie, like very easily defeat him. But they, I don't know, the scene itself was really well designed. It kind of, talking about it, kind of reminds me of like Atomic Blonde, which I think did that in like peak, like really sort of extreme ways. They did a really good job of making that character super resourceful with her surroundings when needed for the fight scenes. But I would agree with all of that.
Yeah. And even, you know, Elena's fight with the guy in the computer room back in the rock quarry, she's so tiny. And yeah, she knows Krav Maga and she yells it as she attacks him. But like, she couldn't take him out, but it was so clever because the way she ends up winning is that she accidentally tranquilizes herself and she falls down and he's like, oh, and he, you know, moves on. And, you know, but it was, I thought that was a good way to end it without, you know, being believable. Like she did kind of hold her own against him and managed to help Sabina. But then, yeah, she didn't end up taking him out because I'm not sure she could have at that point without training. So,
but she did, the way that she was holding her own against him again was like, was by, you know, making good use of her surroundings. I forget what is, was it the mouse?
A there keyboard, was a mouse. Yeah, keyboard. She whips him with the mouse.
That bit, I was like, that's great. And like, and you see her reaction when she like, she hits him once and then it's like, that seems to work again.
Uh-huh. Yep. And at the very end, like the big revenge showdown between Jane and the assassin who killed her Bosley. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it's one of those moments where, you know, like hero finally bests the person she couldn't or he couldn't before. But she gets these great lines about how, you know, he's almost beat her a few times, but what she has on him is that she's learning and mm-hmm. she knows all his moves now or whatever. Yes. So she ends up like beating, because he's using the same 7 moves. And so she's mm-hmm. almost taunting him with that, which is also to her advantage. And she tells him, not only do you use the same 7 moves, but like you also have like, I don't know what she says, like she taunts him easily, basically. Mm-hmm. And so she fragile ends up, ego. You know, yes, a fragile ego. That's what she says. So she ends up like impaling him on an ice sculpture, which was, I hate to say cool, like, but also cool.
Yeah. It was pretty damn cool. I'll give you that one. Yeah. It was so good. I loved it. I want to see it again.
I think I will watch it again.
Yeah.
Back in to the theaters. I think. Yes.
Yeah, you gotta help that gross in order to get your
I know.
Dear Liz, I'm sending you another $10 via movie ticket.
I saw it alone also, and I feel like this is something that I would want to like take girlfriends to. So
yes, we could, totally. Like,
high five each other at those moments. Like, yeah, girls. Yes.
I just want to sit in the theater with my girlfriends and high five each other, okay? God, let me have this. Let me have this is the subtitle of this episode of the podcast.
It's what I'm going to be yelling on Twitter whenever I see negative reviews about this anymore. Let me have this.
And on that note, that brings us to the end of another episode of the podcast. Thank you so much to Jessica for joining us this week. And thank you to all of you for listening. If you are enjoying this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it if you consider joining our community on Patreon at patreon.com/snarksquad or leave us a review or tell your friends about it. We would love to hear all of your thoughts on Charlie's Angels. There will be a post dedicated to this episode up at snarksquad.com. Or you can find us all on Twitter at @snark_squad. I am at Sweeney Says.
You can find me at My Name is Marines.
And I am at Antusian.
This show is produced by Mari and I, edited by me, and the music is by Stefan Chin. We will be back in your feed again next week. Bye.
Goodbye.